Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, author of Epic Fantasy Romance. I'm here with my first cup of coffee. Delicious. Those of you with keen ears or on video will note that I am indoors today. It's cold. Winter did come. It's 23 degrees out right now. And I forgot to say, today is Monday, October 30th. Day before Halloween, All Hallows Eve. And if you're on video, you'll see I'm wearing my witch's hat, just for you. I'm also wearing my Carpe Noctem t-shirt, which I think is very funny. I was in the library a couple of weeks ago and was wearing this t-shirt, and this older gentleman stopped me, and he I was kind of leaving, and he sort of got my way a little bit, but he's like, Carpe Noctem. He said, so this, that is, seize the, and I said, seize the night. And he goes, oh, are you an astronomer? Is that an astronomy thing? And I said, no, it's a vampire thing. And I think he didn't know what to say to me, but I got it in New Orleans at the Vampire Cafe, and I love it. Actually, a year ago, I got this, so cheers. And I love my witch's hat. We'll see if I keep it on for the whole podcast, because it is, it's wool. It's really nicely made. I think I got it on Etsy, which apparently is like getting really bad. All of these things that the corporations get their fingers into. But it's like made of wool and stuff, so it's a little bit itchy. But it sure is cool, isn't it? It's, if you're not on video, it's very broad brimmed, and it's like an alphabet hat. It's got the peak, and then it's got feathers, peacock feathers and stuff. So, good weekend. Got the garden winterized, so that was great. I spent most of Saturday. I got to go to kick-ass yoga again. Kick my ass yoga, and it did. My favorite teacher was back in town. So I did go to that class and then ran around and got, I went and bought mulch. Very exciting. And then worked on the garden most of the day. And it was a beautiful day. It was like in the 60s and sunny and beautiful. And I planted a bunch of bulbs. And yeah, it was great. It was a very nice day. And then Sunday was incredibly stormy. So I felt like I planned it well. Yesterday was, cold wind. And we had a fire in the fireplace. We bought fire logs. And I was thinking about something. I took care of some various tasks around the house. One thing that I have to do twice a year that pretty much demands it is the previous owner added forced air, an HVAC system to the house. The house was originally built with just radiant heat. And so they had added an HVAC system, which does both heat and air conditioning. And because it was added onto the house later, I don't know if like they didn't do a great job or if just because it's an addition, we've had a couple people look at it and they're like, but air comes into the vents. The vents are all on the ceiling. And so when it gets cold in the winter like this, we get really cold air drafts coming out of those vents. Now, if we were running the forced air, the heat, we probably wouldn't, it wouldn't be a big deal. But we never run the forced air heat because the radiant heat's great. Radiant heat is the way to go. I just love it. And just in case you don't know, that's like when the heat is under the floor. So we have brick floors, and you could kind of see some in the background if you're on video. But there's like hot water tubes that run under the floor, and it creates this very stable, steady temperature in the house. No blowing air, that kind of thing. It's great. So these vents in the ceiling, if they're open and we're not using the forced air, which we never do, these cold, cold drafts come in. And I mean, it's like the air just sinks in. So in the wintertime, I go around and close them all. And in the spring, I go around and open them, or usually it's like well into summer. We don't run the air conditioning very often, but when we do want it, we want it. And it'll be like for a few hours in the afternoon, but you know, it's really nice to have that. So I open up the vents in the warm weather, close them in the cold, which I realize this is not fascinating, but it's always like something of a task, you know, because I have to get out the step ladder and the, you know, they're older, you know, just like these metal grate things, and it's like not easy to reach up there and move the thing over and get them closed and all of this. But it was interesting doing this task, doing the gardening felt easier to me this year. And I don't know why. You know, like I bought bulbs, as I mentioned, tulips and daffodils, crocus, hyacinth. And for many years now, I had been planning on buying bulbs. And I had dinner last night at the Dragon Room, the remodeled Dragon Room. If you come to Santa Fe, go to the Dragon Room. It's the bar at Pink Adobe. They've cleaned it up. It's so great. It's beautiful. Great food, great drinks. Was there for happy hour with Megan and Charlie. And it was a lovely, lovely evening. But they were asking me what I'd done too, because Charlie's into gardening too. So we were talking gardening, and they asked if I did the bulbs every year. And I was like, no. When we moved into this house, lo, these 14 years ago, there were a lot of tulips planted and stuff, but tulips only last for 2 years. You have to replace them. We have some wild daffodils that, wild type daffodils that still continue to come up, but it's gotten thin over time. And so for years now, years, I have like had this in my mind that I wanted to get bulbs planted and do a better job of winterizing the garden. And it feels like every year I end up, you know, like bringing in the plants. I put the potted plants outside for the summer. I end up bringing in the plants as like the cold, blustering storm is coming in, you know, battling it instead of having a really nice, calm day to do it. And all of these things, emptying the rain barrels, you know, all of this stuff that you have to do, bringing in the hummingbird feeders, all of these things. And it has felt like such a chore, overwhelming. And I end up like not doing the bulbs because it's just too much. And this year, for some reason, it felt much easier. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if I feel my time is less compressed. I did not go to World Fantasy Convention this year, so maybe that's part of it. But even like going around and doing the vents, you know how sometimes it feels like some tasks have just so much weight to them that it's like, you know, pushing the rock uphill kind of thing. And it doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like going around and dealing with the vents doesn't take that much time, and it's fairly easy to do. Cleaning out the cat boxes, I always procrastinate on that. And I got both of those things done yesterday, and it felt easy. And I don't know what that is. I'm thinking about this a lot, is what makes a task feel easy as opposed to feeling hard. And I know that I have suggested that great book called Breaking the Stress Cycle. Let me get the exact title. It's called Burnout: Unlocking the Secret to the Stress Cycle. And I will put that on the show notes. It's by Emily and Amelia Nagoski, and it's very much targeted towards women. But one of the things that they talk about in this book is one way to get around stress or to deal with stress, especially if it's stuff that you need or want to do, right? You know, it's like, well, you know, your work is stressing you out, but it's not like you can't not do it. But they talk about in terms of how difficult a task seems to us, that if we think a task is easy and we expect to do it quickly and we can't, then that causes stress. So I don't know if that's layered into this, into my feeling of like whether or not something is difficult for me to do. But anyway, it was really kind of cool to get these things done and feel like I had time to do them. And yeah, and that it wasn't this Herculean effort, Sisyphean effort. So anyway, thoughts on that, if you have them, are welcome. I'm just so relieved that that felt easy to do and that I got so many of those things accomplished. I had a good day Friday. Yeah, because I talked to you all Friday morning. I got 3,000 words on Friday, so I had a really great week last week. You know, maybe I'm just feeling good. Who knows? But it was my fourth highest week of the year. Third highest week of the year by like two words. Yeah, so I got almost 15,000 words last week. Some of that was the blog post that I put up yesterday, but still. And I'm at over 75,000 words on Twisted Magic. I have a little over 15,000 to go to finish this book. So I hope to have the draft done this week. I'm very excited about that. Yeah. So, I know the other thing I wanted to talk about is I was having a conversation with a gal on my Discord where she was asking me if I was going to a new book con. It's the Romantasy Book Con. And I said, well, I didn't think anyone had invited me. And then I went and looked, and she said, well, Grace is going. Excuse me. And of course, Grace Draven is my bestie. And she said, if you and Grace are going, maybe I should go, and I'd love to see you both and all this, which is very sweet. And as I was talking to her, I was instant messaging with her, direct messaging with her on Discord. I kind of ended up going through my process again because it turned out I had looked at this. I don't think they invited me, but I think I saw some, maybe because Grace said she was going. And I ended up going through my process of how I decide whether or not I'm going to go to something, partly because she was asking me about it. And then because I'd forgotten I'd already gone through my decision process, I ended up like reenacting live my decision process. And so I thought I would talk about it a little bit here because I told her, well, this is probably more information than you wanted. And she said, no, this is actually very helpful. This is what I need to do. So longtime listeners out there, you will know that pre-pandemic, I was considering going to fewer conferences. And I was feeling like, after I quit the day job and went to writing full time, I went to a bunch of conferences because I could, right? I didn't have to take vacation time. It is one of the great joys of like being a full-time writer that, you know, you don't have to schedule these things in. But the thing is, and I told her this, that I find that I lose about 2 weeks of productivity going to a conference between the prep of going, my attention being there, traveling, being at the conference, and then a week to recover. It takes me a while to ramp up the word count again. Do I wish this were not the case? Sure. I mean, I wish I could change that about myself. But as I often say, creativity is something that is not within our control. But what we can do is we can know ourselves and know what it is. And frankly, I just have to know that about myself. So I was going to way too many conferences. And also pre-pandemic, there had been this proliferation of conferences that had kind of sprung up around self-publishing, where they were basically predatory. And I ended up making a rule, one of my number one rules, is I won't go to a conference where they charge the authors more to be there than they charge the attendees, because that's their business model, is that they are getting the authors, they're getting the authors' money, not the attendees' money. A PolyCon is great because Jennifer L. Armentrout keeps the price very low, and she's not in it for the money. She's not doing this as a money-making enterprise, which is not true of a lot of these conferences, especially if they are if their business model is to make money off of the authors, who are frequently desperate to go to a conference and meet readers and get their books known, right? So that's a fairly easy one for me to weed out. After that, it gets more difficult, but price is a lot. If you're traveling there and staying in the hotel and all of these kinds of things, I don't normally worry about ROI too much, return on investment, but can you sell enough books to justify those costs? You don't often, or at least I don't often come out ahead. Some people do, but part of what you're doing is you're investing in meeting new readers, right? Expanding who knows about you. It's advertising, it's promo. Now, I'm going to differentiate going to professional conferences, like going to something. Well, that's not a good example. I'm trying to think of one, but where you go because you want to learn. And I can only think of Nebula Conference right now. RWA used to be the same way. And that's different because you're not going for promo, you're going for professional development and networking. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't network on, like some of these other events. You can. ApollyCon has turned out to be pretty great for that. But a lot of these conferences, especially new ones, what I ended up telling my friend is I'm going to wait for year two on that one. The other thing I'm looking at is how long they expect you to be at your signing table. And this new one, it's a little bit confusing, and I think it's because it's their first year, which is one reason why I like to wait for the second year. But they say that the marketplace on the schedule where you have your booth and you sit there with your books and you sign, it's from 9 to 5 or 10 to 5 one day and 9 to 3 the second day. And those are long ass hours to be signing books. It's not like, well, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be a vendor and sell things like, t-shirts or whatever. Maybe that's exhausting too. But for me, being at a signing table and signing books for, hours on end and talking to readers and so forth, it's flat exhausting. And ApollyCon has three, I think it's like 3 hour sessions. And boy, and I did one somewhere, I can't remember where now, where it was a 4 hour signing session. Three is like really the max I can do. Four is flat out. Now, I'm not sure what their plan is because they also have, like in those same time frames, they say that there's going to be author workshops and panels. So I don't know how you're supposed to like have your table with your booth and your books and all of that and go off and do these things. I don't know if they're assuming that all authors have assistants to sit there for them because I don't. I never bring an assistant. So, it's interesting because I see this proliferation happening now that post-pandemic, I threw out my pre-pandemic ideas because it was like, yes, I want to go to all the things. Please, people, people. And now I'm realizing I need to really reel back again. And there's, so many of these things, like there are a number of them that people have sent to me that I've gotten invitations to come to. And it's, you can't go to them all. And I think we're going to start hitting carrying capacity for readers. So yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to go to that con unless something changes. It's not till a year from now. So that's part of my decision-making process. Everybody has to decide what's best for them, obviously, but don't fall for the idea that you must go do this thing if you want to be successful. There are lots of ways to do the thing. I'm going to Maybe I'll talk about it more on Friday because I just remembered, but I'm going to include in the show notes that I listened to this really interesting podcast, which you know I don't often do. I'm a podcast hypocrite. I fully admit this. But this one is The Minimum Viability Threshold, Why Some Books Don't Sell, with Dr. Carrie Spencer Prey. And it was fascinating. It was some real data. She got her PhD and worked with a statistician looking at traditional, it's mostly traditional publishing focus, but even if you indie publish, it's really, there's some great insights. And basically she came up with that there are 8 variables. She looked at like 300 variables, and there are 8 that she found a direct correlation with whether or not a book took off. And it is really interesting to hear that data. And she's got a PowerPoint with it too, so that's cool. So I'll link to that in the show notes. And I hope you all have a great week. I hope I have a great week. Let's get out there and be productive. End of October, right? The veil is thin. Take advantage of all that great supernatural energy. You all take care. I will talk to you on Friday. Bye-bye.